Okay, back to the dinim of kosher. So we learned that a permanent knot is biblically forbidden. According to many opinions, it has to be not only a permanent knot, it has to be a professional knot. But halacha is not clear. Halacha says we're not clear what is the definition necessarily of a permanent knot. For instance, many poskim write, it's possible that a double knot, just a double knot, would be considered a permanent knot. Which, according to everybody, whether it's an expert knot or not, anything which is permanent is still rabbinically forbidden. According to many opinions, it's biblically forbidden. So now, the definition of a permanent knot, halacha says, is not necessarily dependent on the individual person, but it's basically what generally people do. For instance, to give an example, when people tie a knot on the tzitzis, yeah, most people, their intention is not to undo it. The intention is to leave the knot on the tzitzis. So therefore, even though you might want to take apart the knot of the tzitzis, but nevertheless, it still has to be a permanent knot. It's a very interesting thing to go off the topic for a second. There's an avenanezer that the Rebbe disagrees with, and that is, by tefillin, the Torah says, ukshartam. You need to have a kesher. Now, we have a kesher on the hand, and a kesher on the head, right in the back of the tefillin. There's also a knot. Now, we know that many times you have different head sizes. So, if somebody borrows somebody's tefillin, sometimes if the guy has a small head and you have a big head, or vice versa, you have to change the knot of the tefillin. And Avnezer says it's a very big question in halacha if you're allowed to do that. What? No. I'm saying if I give him permission to change the knot. But according to him, it might not be valid. Why? Because he says a knot has to be a permanent knot. Now, if you're changing it, bigger or smaller, then it's not a permanent knot. By the way, just for the record, if I borrow your tefillin and I need to change the knot and I put it back to the exact size it was before, I could do it also. Yeah, as long as you put it back to the original size.
Without
my permission. Yes. Huh? No, you can see. A lot of times the guys will take a pen, they'll mark it. And in the inside with the pen, just slightly, to see exactly where it goes back to. But Davna Nezer holds that that's not, because you're changing the knot, it's not called the permanent knot in the Torah. This is a kshartam. And Rebbe argues, and Rebbe says that the fact that you're doing a mitzvah, the mitzvah makes it a permanency. And Rebbe proves it from the 42 journeys of the Jews in the Midbar. So it says, Vayisa Vayachno, Vayisa Vayachno. And over there, the Torah says there are 42 places they camped. Now, even though they didn't camp there permanently, they were moving on. But the fact that it was Al Pi Hashem Yachanu, Al Pi Hashem Yisol, Hashem told them when to camp, and Hashem told them when to go, that itself makes it permanent. And the same thing the Rebbe says by Tefillin, the fact that you change the knot for a mitzvah, so then it's called a permanent knot anyway, even though you're going to change it and move it right back.
Meaning that the stay was permanent? Or the mitzvah was?
No, because Hashem said to do it,
yes.
That makes it permanent. It makes it permanent camping. So therefore, the Rebbe holds, you're allowed to change the size of the knot. Providing you put it back to the rib, that's because the person will mind. The guy says, don't worry, I'll fix it myself. Then it's no problem. Many people don't even wrap the tefillin. They just leave them like that. I mean, it's not respectful, but... Okay. Now, what happens... For instance, I'll give you an example. You have nowadays, you have garbage bags, right? And the garbage bags, many of them have a string at the end. No, you pick it up and then you knot it and then you take it out to the garbage. So even though you don't care that this knot should be permanent, even though you don't care that now, you just want it to hold until they take away the trash. You know, and then you don't care what happens to it, if it opens or not. But nevertheless, the mashal is a very practical din. You have an overflow garbage in Shabbos. You pick up the garbage, and you want to take it, put it in the backyard or whatever, you know, because you can't carry it out. And you have to be careful. You can't tie the bag into a knot. You could just make one knot, because we learned that's nothing. Just make one knot, but you can't even make, it's interesting, according to Allah, you're not even able to make a bow on top of the knot.
Not even half a bow.
Because over there your intention is to be permanent. When you tie your shoes, you usually have kavana that you're going to take it apart that day. So it's not permanent. But if somebody, they post can write this. What happens if you tie your shoe not with a double knot, like you said? You tie it with a single knot and a bow. Like normal people tie shoes, right? But your intention is to leave it there for a few days. So then you're not allowed to tie that knot even with the bow, because that is called a permanent knot.
What about if you don't do half a bow?
A slip knot. A slip knot?
Yeah, no, another one that you have only one side of.
Okay, so it's similar to a slip knot. A slip knot that you just pull on the string and the whole thing opens, so everybody writes, it's not a problem. Yeah, but you shouldn't have a mind to do it permanently because it's still permanent. This is a very interesting shaila in halacha. Many, many people are machmir about it. Some people are meikul on it. You know, the ties. Not this. The tie on a challah bag.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. So now, you take a tie, you finish using the challah Friday night or Shabbos day, you have leftover challah from the day, so you tie it within a tie and you put it into the freezer. The shaila is that called a kasher shokayama? Is that called a permanent knot? And many poskim hold those ties are not allowed to be used on Shabbos if your intent is to leave it there more than 24 hours. 1 second. So a lot of poskim write, by the way, most poskim say you shouldn't use them. But smashma from the Alter Rebbe and other reliable sources that it's not so bad, I mean, it's not an issue that you are allowed to use ties on Shabbos. But what some people, I'll give you an example. You buy challah Friday in the bakery and you're going to use it Shabbos in your house. Okay? So in the bakery, they tie it with a tie. Now, when they tie it with a tie, their intention is, as long as you want it, it could stay there for weeks. They don't know if you're buying the challah to put into the freezer or where you're doing it. So when they tie the knot, what's their intent? Their intent is it's going to be there for a long time. So some poskim hold that those that are machmir with the ties, they write that the best thing we do before Shabbos, again, really you could be meikul with the ties, I'm saying. But if a person wants to be machmir, before Shabbos, they should undo the tie and tie it again, because now you're taking off Friday night, you're going to be taking off Shabbos day, so there's not even a permanent tie. So then it's not a problem. But some poskim write that the one that comes straight from the bakery could be an issue because when they tie it, it's intentional.
What about the fact that it can undo it with one hand?
So not everybody holds of that one hand bit. That's why he said even the slip knot, you shouldn't have intention to keep it there for a long time. Because many poskim hold, it's a day, some poskim say it's a week. Some people, what's called a permanent knot. Some people say no, even less than a day. Okay, I'll tell you, it doesn't apply so much today because we don't have such gartlach and the Sefer Torah. Years ago, if you remember, they didn't have the Velcro or the hooks. They had this long gartle, whatever color it was, and you wrapped up the Sefer Torah, and then you tied it into a bow. Remember those? Well, you guys had the silver ones anyway, but you remember from the... When we grew up, that was the guy. Remember that? That's where the way they had the ties and the Sefer Torah.
Yeah.
In the olden days. So now, so if you use those, then you have a big shaila, Shabbos and Mincha. Because Shabbos and Mincha, you're going to tie the Sefer Torah. When are you going to be using the Sefer Torah next?
Monday.
Either Monday or next Shabbos even.
If
Or if you have a minion every Yom Kippur, you're going to be using next Yom Kippur.
If you have more than one sefer Torah, it could be a long time.
Right. Okay. So now, the Paschim write, that's a shaila of tying a knot on Shabbos. So some people want to say that because it's a mitzvah of respect of a sefer Torah, it's okay. Because it's only rabbinically forbidden. It's not a permanent knot. Okay? But nevertheless, there were many people that were machmer, and halacha brings it down. There are many people that were machmer that when they did Galila Shabbos afternoon, because then you're not using Sefer Torah for a few days, they would wrap it around, and instead of tying the bow, they would just tuck it in, rather than tying it. Now that we have the Velcro or the hooks, it's not an issue because you're not tying anything. Also, another issue where you find this, in many places, including Chabad, when a chassan gets married under the chuppah, they don't have any knots on them. No knots. That the only knot should be between the chassan and the kala. That's our custom. So what do they do, l'mashal? If they have a tie, they undo the tie before the chuppah. Either they just let it hang, they take it off. Anyway, you cover with a kittel and a coat anyway, according to our custom. So number one, they undo the tie. If somebody has shoelaces, they would untie the shoelaces before the chuppah and tuck in the shoelace into the shoe. And all the things, they don't do any, they don't wear cufflinks. A lot of things, they push it, have no knots on them at all, the only knot. So what do? Now, the way it works by us is, you have a chosin, the Lubavitcher chosin, he wears a kapata. Then over the kapot, he wears a kittel, right? And then we wear a gartel over the kittel. And then they wear a coat to cover the kittel. That's our meaning. Even in the summer, in 300 degree weather, in Miami, when it's 8, 9,000% humidity.
And he's fasting.
And he's fasting. Okay, wow. So now the question is, when you tie the gartel, normally you tie the gartel, you tie it like a tie, like, you know, you tie it. So what is the, we don't do that by the chosin. The chosin, you wrap around the gartel, and then you just tuck it in and out a few times, but you don't make any knot. Why? Because it's called a knot, and we're careful not to have any knots under the chuppah, and, you know, for the duration of the chuppah itself. So when they go to the chuppah, it's already undone. But I'll tell you, there is another shaila poskim right down. Now, what happens if you have a loose double knot? Sometimes you have a belt on a coat. Especially more by the women's coats, yeah? You have a belt on the coat. And they make a very loose double knot. They don't make a knot, a tight knot like you do on shoes. So that's not a problem because it's made, you take it out with one hand, it's not, you can undo it, you're not sleeping in your coat. So it's not a problem. But I'll tell you where there is an issue sometimes. And it's not necessarily a big problem, but it's, many times, people's gartel always loosen up. Mm-hmm. Or the gartel is too long. So they'll double knot it. They'll go once in, and then they'll go a second time like this, and do it again. Now you're actually creating on the gartel a double knot. Now, why isn't it a big problem? It's not a very big problem, because lapel, it's not a tight knot. Can undo it, you undo it very easily, and you're not leaving it there for a day. I'm just saying all these things that people don't even think about.